So, OU beat Texas. And I think that the Cowboys are going to beat the 49ers. Probably not. Today we're still studying in the book of Philippians, and you can grab your Bibles or turn your device on to Philippians. Last week, Pastor Jake spoke about continuing to work on your salvation, how God can work in us and through us, and we will finish the second chapter today. And we're going to have 5 points, and next week we're going to have 5 points. And what we're calling this is how God uses regular folks. And if you've missed any of the messages so far, you can get on our website or you can get the Cross City app. And that's really great. The best thing ever. You can fill in your notes and email it to yourself when you're done. And just to make sure that you are not surfing the internet or checking up on Instagram, because that's bad. The church at Philippi was a church that Paul had started from scratch. He pastored it for a while, but then he moved on and he planted more churches. The letter to the Philippians is around 10 years from when he established the church there. At the time of writing this letter, he is in prison. A different kind of prison that we think of. He's not locked up in a jail cell. He's under house arrest. He's in a room. He can't leave. He can have many, many visitors as he wants. We often call Paul's letters to the church at Philippi part of Paul's prison epistles or prison letters. We've found ourselves there today in the book of Philippians. So we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 19, and Paul is going to say, he's going to say to Timothy, because Timothy was a selfless person and he served people at Philippi. So I would love for you, if you would stand with me and honor God's word. It's going to be a long passage. Philippians 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. And so we're going to concentrate on verse 25 through 30. That's really what we're talking about. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, therefore I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Verse 29, so then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Let's pray. Dear God, we just love you so much, and we need to learn some of these lessons today. We need to learn it from Paul, we need to learn it from Timothy, and we need to learn it from Epaphroditus. And Lord, we just love you, and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just to give you guys a quick overview of my life, my dad was a preacher for many years, and he served here at Cross City. Many of you knew him. He came here at 65, and he died at 87, and it was incredible. Both of my brothers are preachers. Because of what my grandpa James started, we have been blessed to raise in Christian homes and heard to call to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But please know that I am not a typical messenger of God, because there is no typical type of person God chooses. As we look at this story here today, we see a handful of people mentioned in this small section at the end of chapter 2. First, we have the Apostle Paul. You want to rank the top 10 greatest Christians of all time? The Apostle Paul is going to be the top of your list. No doubt about it. This guy changed the world. Paul was a Christian when nobody knew what a Christian was. Paul was a Christian when nobody thought being a Christian was cool. Paul was a Christian when he's still literally writing the book on what it meant to be a Christian. I mean, this guy, top of anybody's list for sure. Then you take a look. You scared me. I mean, this guy is at the top of the list. You take Timothy. Timothy was very, very close to Paul, and Timothy read the book of Philippians. And Paul calls him just like a father would work with his son. So Timothy and I have worked together in the gospel. Paul loves Timothy as one of his sons. He writes two letters to Timothy, and the outside of the Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the greatest leadership lessons, spiritual leadership ever penned by man. First and Second Timothy. In those books, Paul tells Timothy to be a godly man, to walk with Jesus, to help other people do the same. Timothy was one of the people that Paul put in charge of finding other guys who would be pastors, bringing them up after Paul was gone. And then there's a guy in the story, and his name is Epaphroditus. And we don't know a lot about Epaphroditus. We don't know a lot. Have you ever met anybody named Epaphroditus? I haven't. I've met lots of Pauls, and I've met lots of Timothys that work on our staff, and I've mentioned my grandpa, James Amos Rutherford, and there's a picture of him. That's when he was young. He was really young, and he had a lot of hair, and I didn't. So I have two sons, Andrew and Zachary. Both those names are found in the Bible. When we're thinking of baby names, Epaphroditus didn't crack our top 100, right? Why? Because he's a nobody when it comes to the Bible. He really is. We know nothing about Epaphroditus apart from the book of Philippians. He's mentioned once here in the book of Philippians. Epaphroditus was just a regular guy. Paul says that he was a messenger from the church of Philippi. We can guess that he probably came from an unsaved family. The name Epaphroditus meant favored. Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. So he was named after a pagan god. This indication says that his parents weren't believers. They weren't Christians. Was this guy a preacher? Was this guy a prayer warrior? We don't know. The only thing we know is that he hung out with Paul while he was in prison. That's it. Just a regular run-of-the-mill guy. I got to think that there are some of us who can identify with Epaphroditus. Maybe you don't come from a long line of pastors. Maybe you weren't even raised in a Christian home. And maybe this new Bible stuff is new to you. And maybe you are like Epaphroditus. But God still wants to use you. And if you're sitting here saying, I'm just a regular folk, I'm a normal guy, I'm a normal girl, good. Because that's the type of people that God uses. You see, the type of people that Jesus Christ skipped over when he was choosing his team of 12, you know who he skipped over. He skipped over the scribes and the Pharisees. And they thought they were the best of the best. They knew the Bible frontwards and backwards. They graduated at the top of the class, but Jesus skipped right over them. He skipped over every person who thought they had it all together. The people who thought they were something, everybody that wanted a position, a status. And he took the lowest of the low, people who were just willing to put their head down and get to work. That's the type of people that God uses. And so I've entitled today, How God Uses Regular Folks. We're going to have 5 points, and next week we're going to have 5 points. So be kind, be generous, be loving, be garbage. Stop that. 5 tips to better marriage. Let's just throw out 5 ideas. Be nice, be loving, be caring. I hate lists that are like that, but there's a beautiful part about the expository Bible preaching, which means going line by line through the Bible. These 5 ways that God uses regular folks comes directly from the Bible. And we're just going to go down everything that Paul says about Epaphroditus. And so some of us are old folks. We can be used to do something great. And so point number one is be willing to connect with and invest and serve others. Paul, from the very get-go, if you take a look at verse 25, he says, I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. And the first thing he says about Epaphroditus is, this is my brother. This means that Epaphroditus was just more than a messenger. Epaphroditus' job was to go and deliver Paul a message, be a messenger, encourage him. And so Epaphroditus shows up and says, hey, Paul, just want to let you know the church of Philippi is doing really, really good. They're praying for you. And Paul says, thank you, Epaphroditus. And I don't know if he just kind of like stood there for a little bit. Paul's like, do you need something else? It'd be like a mailman dropping off your mail. Here you go, Mr. Rutherford, this is good for you. And he kind of like stands there for a minute. What do you want me to tip you? Is this a new thing? Can you just leave? Epaphroditus delivered a message, but he just stayed. He just stayed. And I don't know if Epaphroditus says, hey, Paul, is there anything around here that I can do for you? Is there anything that you need? Any way I can help or something like that? But here's the thing. Epaphroditus didn't just want to do the bare minimum. He wanted to go above and beyond and really try to connect with Paul in some meaningful way. That's why for us as Christians, We can't just take surface connection with other people. You got to be willing to go a little bit deeper. At some point, you got to go beyond. Hey, how's it going? Maybe you say, hey, how can I pray for you this week? Hey, I should come over to your house. I'm going to grill some hamburgers. I really love to get to know you guys and hear your story. Hey, I want to let you know that I prayed for you every single day of this week. We got to be willing to go deeper than just a greeting. That's what it takes for an investment. And Epaphroditus wasn't willing to just deliver a message and wash his hands and say, look, Paul, all I'm supposed to do is tell you what we're doing. Okay, we're fine. I'm going back home. But he was willing to connect with Paul. And he said, hey, Epaphroditus is more than just your messenger. He's my brother now. We have this tight connection that I absolutely love about the local New Testament churches, that we're all going in the same direction. We're all doing the same thing. We're all growing at different stages of life, and we're doing it together. And there's a special bond that we have between that, where I can call you my brother, I can call you my sister. We can be a part of the same family together. And look, if you got a problem with somebody else in the church, you got a problem with me. Because we're all family here. That's the idea. Paul says Epaphroditus is more than just a guy who came out and hung with me for a bit. We developed a deep bond with one another, but it goes one step further when we take a look at this passage in verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my co-worker, and fellow soldier. And so, you want to be used by God. That's what you want to do. Number two, you got to be willing to work. Be willing to work. Paul calls Epaphroditus co-worker. And some versions say it's a fellow worker or a fellow laborer. But this is a work to advance the kingdom of God, working side by side to make the name of Jesus known to everyone they meet. You want to know how God can use regular folks like you and like me? He uses the people who work, people who are ready to roll up their sleeves and put an honest day's work in. But sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we don't work. We oftentimes feel intimidated by the talents of others, maybe the skills that we don't have. Well, I can't sing like that, so God can't use me. Well, I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't preach. I can't teach. But God can still use you. Epaphroditus was just a simple messenger. We don't hear anything about his amazing talents or his skills or his gifts. We simply hear how he was a fellow worker, someone who was willing to put in the work. Do the job of the meeting. Do the job of meeting the needs of the people all around him. Maybe Epaphroditus did this because he understood the fundamental truth about work, the truth about working alongside someone else, working alongside Paul. He was not working for man. He was working for God. In another one of his letters, Colossians, Paul wrote that. And he writes this, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Most of us have experienced working for an amazing boss, a great coach, a phenomenal leader. Maybe some of us have been so lucky we have worked for a boss or a leader that was sometimes discouraging or sometimes mean. And the verse tells us that it doesn't matter if the boss is good or bad or amazing or terrible, we are to act like we are working for God. Luckily for us, God is the best boss there is. And young people often get accused of not wanting to work, not want to put in the hard work into accomplishing a task. No matter what the age, you will always find people who don't want to work. But young people want to work. If it's for the cause they believe in, if they believe in the mission, if they believe in the purpose of an organization, they will work hard. And they think that's true of all of us. God calls us to work hard because it is working to advance the kingdom of God. It is to expand the borders of heaven. There is no other cause that is more valuable or more purposeful than working for Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The job description of the kingdom of God is long. The workload is daunting. But when we realize that we are working for God, we are working in his kingdom. It can change our perspective of the work. Paul calls Epaphroditus a fellow laborer. Paul says, I was pulling and he was pulling right beside me. We were working together to accomplish more for the glory of God. We pray that you would be willing to work for God's kingdom. Number three, you got to be willing to go to war. The Christian life isn't for sissies. I'll put it that way, it's hard. 2 Timothy 2:1-3, Paul tells Timothy again, you talk about spiritual leadership. Paul's pouring into Timothy, telling him to man up. And this is what he says. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So come on, Timothy, put your big boy pants and get after it. The Christian life is hard. It's going to be difficult. If you decide to walk with Jesus, first of all, it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your entire life, bar none, period, end of story. But if you decide to walk with Jesus, it'll be hard because you know this. And the second you decide to walk with Jesus, the devil hates your guts. And he's going to do everything to destroy you. And the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. My problem is not with you. My problem isn't with somebody else. My problem isn't with the atheist who's angry with me and hates me. Those people are not my enemies. The Bible says that our enemy is the devil and the power of darkness. And there's a spiritual war going on that we can't actually see, but we're engaged in. That's why the things that we see taking place on television, it's not just our nation going to hell in a handbasket. It's a matter of spiritual warfare against our nation, against Christians in particular. And we can either sit back and we can continue to flip channels, or we can stand up and get engaged. And we're called to stand up and get engaged, but it's going to be hard. And know this, if you're a child of God, if there's been a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the devil cannot steal your salvation. And I'm thankful for that. And if you don't know what that means, I'm going to tell you the most important thing you've ever heard in your entire life. So please listen up. First of all, you were born into this world as a sinner. You've broken God's law, not once, but twice. And you're on a continual basis. And I have as well. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The problem comes when life is over. It's appointed to man once to die. After that, the judgment, I will stand before God one day and I will have to give an account for all the wrong that I've ever done. And the Bible says somebody has to pay. If you stand before God, you have to pay. Here's the price. The wages of sin is death. Revelation 20 says all those names were not found written in the book of life. They were cast out into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And when you die, hell is what you deserve for your sin. Hell is what I deserve for my sin. But God loves you. And he loves me. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die in our place. And I was supposed to die, but Jesus died for me. If you would be willing today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, you can be saved from your sin. All the wrong you've ever done in your entire life can be wiped away as it's never happened. You can become a child of God. That day I got saved, I threw off the chains of sin. I threw off the chains of guilt, shame, and regret. I'm no longer fearful of death because I know what happens to me when I die. Because Jesus Christ has saved me. And I want to tell you, the devil wants to steal your joy. The devil wants to steal your peace. The devil wants to steal your Christian witness. The devil wants to ruin your testimony. The devil wants to limit your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. So you need to understand that this is a war that we're fighting. Well, how do you fight? Ephesians 6 says, tell us to put on the armor of God that may be able to stand against the devil in that day. And it tells us that we're walking through and we're protecting our minds, we're protecting our hearts, we're protecting our spirit. But the Bible also tells us that we have one offensive weapon in the armor of God, that is the sword of the Spirit, which is basically the Word of God. And so, friend, if you're not in the Bible, you're in a gunfight without a gun. You're in a sword fight without a sword. And you're going to get absolutely gutted if you're not spending time in God's Word. And Paul says this, my fellow worker and my fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my needs. That's what Epaphroditus did. He loved on Paul and he did everything for Paul. Number four, be willing to serve in humility. Again, we don't truly know what Epaphroditus did. Maybe he held the paper up. Maybe Paul wrote it on it. Maybe he prayed for the meal being served. Here's what we do know. He ministered to Paul's needs. Now, depending on your English translation, it might be wants, it might be needs. They both basically mean the same thing. Whatever Paul needed, Epaphroditus was willing to do it. And it's interesting, Paul's not talking necessarily in terms of the ministry, like, oh, if I need to read something from the Bible, he'd read it to me. If I needed somebody to pray, he would pray with me. And I think Paul's talking about, hey, if I needed somebody to run to the store and grab something for me, Epaphroditus would do that. We know the book of Acts that this house arrest that Paul was under, people could come and go freely. Paul couldn't go anywhere, but he could have as many visitors as he wanted. The Bible says in the book of Acts that nobody was ever turned away from being able to see Paul. You can imagine Epaphroditus was doing everything for Paul. You need me to wash dishes? You need me to run out and get some toothpaste? Whatever you need, Paul. And again, the idea in the word minister, when you think of a minister as a guy wearing a costume and with a backwards collar, that's a minister. That's not really what the Bible is talking about. The word minister is a servant. And Epaphroditus served Paul. Whatever Paul needed, he was willing to help. I'm telling you, this is the greatest joy you will ever find in your Christian life. When you stop asking what can be done for you, you begin to look what you can do for other people. John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It's an amazing statement. But you know what it really is? It's basically a biblical principle. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He wasn't concerned about what he was getting out of this. So many times people leave the church because it didn't scratch their itch. Well, they didn't really have anything for my kids. My kids didn't have a coloring sheet. My kids didn't have enough goldfish. I forgot to feed my kids at breakfast. My wife did. They didn't have any food in the nursery. We didn't get a good parking spot and we had to walk a long way today. And I didn't like the songs they sang today. Okay, I get it, but I'm going to shoot you straight because I like when people just tell me the truth and I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, church is not about you being entertained. We are blessed to have this great facility. Tremendous workers and volunteers, but we do not preach the false doctrine of prosperity gospel. Our mission is solely for your comfort. Our mission is to make more and better disciples. And I'll be straight with you. I don't think you could find a better children's ministry program than ours at Cross City. I think it's the best. We've got the best in town. By far, I believe, we have tried to make our parking more convenient, but that's not our number one priority. Listen, if you're looking for a place that God's doing something special, you want to jump in on that. You're right in the place. You're in the place where you want to use God's given you to bless, you to encourage others and help and serve. You're in the right place because this is where we get that kind of work done. Epaphroditus was willing to be there and meet whatever Paul needed. When people come to our staff or call in and say, hey, we want to jump in, we have so many people who say, I'm willing to do whatever you need me to do. We have a large staff and large volunteers, and they do what needs to be done. And they make this a great church. It's a bunch of people who are willing to just do whatever it takes to get stuff done. I love it. And as we look at Epaphroditus, he was just willing to do whatever it takes to get stuff done. So you gotta be willing to serve in humility. And point number five, you gotta be willing to leave your comfort behind. We will end this. Take a look at verse 26. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Epaphroditus was sick. Indeed, he was ill and he almost died. But he still stayed with Paul. He stepped outside of his comfort zone and sacrificed for the kingdom of God. He was willing to push outside of his comfort zone to be willing to do something great for God. He was being willing to step outside of his comfort zone and to encourage Paul while Paul sat in prison just doing what Jesus had told him to do. You see, friend, you'll never accomplish anything great for Christ if you're so worried about your comfort. There's a famous theologian, J.I. Packer. He was born in 1926 in England. And J.I. was 7 years old when he was in an accident and he resulted in immediate brain surgery. 3 weeks at the hospital stay. And then he rested for 6 months in bed rest. And he had to wear a protective plate on his head for the next 8 years of his life. And he couldn't do any sports like the other boys did. But he spent his time reading and writing. And that led him to become an exceptional student and was accepted at Oxford University in 1944. Just weeks into his freshman year at college, he decided to go to a church. And he heard the gospel. And he made this decision to follow Jesus. And he eventually married his wife. And they ended up adopting 3 children. He believed so deeply in the truth and the power of the scriptures that it often sometimes caused controversy in his life. But he still didn't back down from the calling of Jesus. Packer wrote over 150 books and has contributed to our understanding in a theological, powerful way. One of his most impactful and profound quote is this. I love this quote. It needs to be said loud and clear that in the kingdom of God, there ain't no comfort zone and never will be. If you're willing to step outside of your comfort zone, God has great things for you. Today, we have challenged you with connecting with others, serving others. We have talked about how God has worked and called us, and we need to fight our spiritual battles. We have talked about serving with humility. A lot of these things are probably outside of your comfort zone, and you can't do it on your own. You need a community of believers to support you and to encourage you. But most importantly, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe today is the day when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Today you will submit to Him. You will give Him your life. Maybe stepping outside of your comfort zone means stepping down to the front. Maybe you need to pray with somebody, a leader or pastor. Maybe you need to pray to accept Jesus. Maybe you need to come down and get baptized. Whatever decision you make today, we pray that it would be the day that you trust Jesus even more. Let's stand and let's sing.